Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics, a program designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God. Pastor Brian is continuing with the series of topical studies, and coming up, we're being reminded that nothing will ever be able to separate us from God's love. So let's turn to the book of Romans chapter 8 for a message called Loved Forever, Saved Forever, as we go back to basics.
Here at the end of the 8th chapter, Paul is finalizing his teaching on this grand theme of salvation. And here he's stating in no uncertain terms his confidence that for those in Christ Jesus, nothing will prevent them from attaining the glory they have been predestined to. You remember the apostle has been asking a number of rhetorical questions, questions that make a statement rather than elicit an answer. And he's been asking these questions and been making these statements to give those in Christ assurance that their ultimate destiny is to share in the glory of Christ in heaven. And so as we considered last time, he asked the question there, if God be for us, who can be against us? We saw that it's impossible for the plan and the purpose of God for our lives to be overthrown. Regarding our justification, it's God who justifies us. So who can bring anything? Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God who justifies. So we know that although there are accusations brought against us, we saw how none of those can possibly stick because of the fact that the one who is the judge has already declared us to be righteous. And then we saw that Christ, having died and risen again, he's making intercession for us. So any attempt by anyone, by ourselves, by our detractors, by the enemy, any attempt to condemn us is a fruitless attempt. It will never happen. And then he asked this final question here in the section, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Now, Paul will ultimately prove that no one or nothing can separate us from Christ's love. But he first goes through this list of things that seem from our perspective at times to be able to do that. And so he mentions the tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword. And isn't it true, as we pointed out before, whenever these kinds of things happen, the first thing that seems to pop into the minds of a lot of people is, well, where's a loving God now that this kind of a thing is going on? And when we're hearing those questions in the broader culture today, brought up quite frequently. So if you Christians, you know, you say that God is a God of love, well, where was that God of love when the typhoon hit the Philippines, they might say? Or where is the God of love when this catastrophe struck, or this disaster occurred, or this, you know, tragedy? And we hear this, where is the God of love? But not only on that level, this is the very kind of thing that we hear in our own heads when it's a more personal kind of a thing. When we experience tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword, so often it's the case that we are asking those same questions, right? Sometimes they're subtle, but nevertheless, they're there. How does this square with God's love for us? I mean, if God really loves you, that suggestion might come. If God really loves you, then how do you explain the tribulation that you're going through? Well, how do you explain this distress or this, the famine, the nakedness, the peril of the sword? How do you explain that? Well, we have to remember, as we pointed out, that God is working out an eternal purpose. And he is doing something in every one of us who are his people that is preparing us not just for life in the present or in the immediate future, but we have to remember that God is doing things with eternity in mind. And so, yes, we do sometimes, even as God's people, we experience these kinds of things. Paul makes it a point to tell us that this is even what the scriptures themselves spoke of. And so his quotation here from the psalm, as it is written, "For your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter." And the fact of the matter is, God's people, Christian people, suffer. We go through difficulties. We go through challenges. We go through trials. We go through tragedy. But none of this means that God doesn't love us. Because as the apostle reminds us here, he says, "Yet in all of these things, we are more than conquerors." You see, the reality is, despite all of these things that are thrown at us, we're going to be victorious in the end. We're more than conquerors. God is going to bring us through all of these things. And like the verse that we started with in our reading there, all things are working together for good to those who love God. God is taking the tribulation, the distress, the persecution, the famine. He's taking all of these things and more, and through his greatness and through his great love for us, he is working these things out so that when we all finally cross the threshold into eternity and look back, we're going to say, "Amazing, Lord. It's amazing how you did this. It's amazing how you took these things and you worked them out for your eternal purposes." Dr. Lloyd-Jones said this in regard to this statement of Paul that we are more than conquerors. He said, "We are not simply enabled by his love to hold on and to not fall away and falter. Neither is it the case that we just manage to obtain the victory and manage somehow or another to just make it into heaven. We are more than conquerors. We have been enabled to overcome completely anything and everything that can possibly come against us." You see, that's the reality. That's what's happening. God is working in us to this kind of a degree. And I have to say this, the older I get and the longer I go in life and the longer I walk with the Lord, I see how these things are true. I see how it's all true. Those things that even, you know, as a young man and as a young minister, at times I would see things that were perplexing and troubling, and I would wonder, "Well, Lord, you know, how does this square with what you said here?" And yet, as time progresses, and as you have an opportunity to see things go on and on, you see how God does indeed do what he promised to do. He does indeed work these things out. And Paul, writing this epistle here, this is where he's come to. Now, remember, this epistle and the first portion of it, we're coming to a conclusion of the first portion. What this whole first section is really all about, it's about our great salvation. The Bible refers to our salvation as so great a salvation. It is greater than the word "so" is able to convey. It is it's greater than the word "great" is able to convey. And so it's so great a salvation. It's beyond great. And what Paul is doing here is he's bringing the whole presentation of the details of our salvation. He's bringing it to its climactic moment. He's bringing it to this crescendo. He's wanting us now to just get the full effect for ourselves of what it is that Christ has done for us. And so he says in verse 38, he says, "For I am persuaded." So you see, here's a man who has now experienced it all. He's lived his life as a follower of Christ. He's lived his life as a servant of Christ. He himself, you know, it's interesting if you think of Paul's story, all the things that he mentions here, tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Those are all the things that he said that he himself experienced. So Paul's not writing this from the theoretical position. Paul is writing this from personal experience. And he says at the end of the day, this is what I am absolutely convinced of. This is what I am totally certain about. I don't have a doubt in my mind. That is what the apostle is telling us. And he doesn't have any doubt about what? He doesn't have any doubt about God's ability to complete what he has begun in our lives. And so here in these verses, Paul, he just spans everything that there is. Paul is including everything in this list here when he goes through death and life and angels and principalities, powers, things present, things future, height, depth, any other created thing. He's just, whatever there is, he's saying none of these things can ever separate us from the love of God in Christ. Think with me for a moment about a few of these things. Nothing in death. We all have an appointment with death. We're going to die someday, unless the Lord comes and takes us away before that, but we don't know that he will. But the fact of the matter is, we're going to die. We think about death in the future, and quite often, even as God's people, we are fearful of that. But what is there to fear in death? Well, the only thing that death could possibly do is it could only harm us if we die in our sin. But here's the wonderful truth. Jesus has taken away our sin. Remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15. He said, the sting of death is sin, but Christ has removed our sin. So there's no sting in death. Death is just simply the corridor into the presence of God. And when we die, we don't go to stand before a judge. We go to stand before our Father and to be welcomed in. So Paul looks at death and all of the possibilities there. He says, there's nothing. He's absolutely convinced nothing in death can separate us from the love of God in Christ. But then he says life. All of the uncertainties that come along in life. I mean, think about the possibilities. So many uncertainties, aren't there? We really don't know what a day is going to bring. And there are so many things that could possibly happen. Sickness, abandonment, persecution, these kinds of things. Sickness befalls people, and sometimes it debilitates them, not only physically at times, sometimes people are mentally debilitated through sickness. I have seen people who have been affected in a way through some sort of illness that it's affected their ability to even properly think, or and as a result of that, to not even be able to behave in a proper way. Now, some people look at that and say, well, how do you explain that? Or what about that? Or, you know, that could separate a person from the love of God in Christ. No, Paul says nothing in life. Nothing that comes along in life, all of its uncertainties, whatever it might be, although we might be abandoned by men, although we might even feel at times that we've been abandoned by God, but we haven't been. That's what he's saying. So nothing in life. And then he says angels, principalities, and powers. And certainly here he's talking about those powers of darkness, the fallen angels, and the principalities, the powers. We know from Ephesians chapter 6 that these are references to the satanic powers. And we know that Satan and the demonic host, we know that they are at work against us. Jesus even said to Peter, "Peter, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat." So whether Satan has specifically asked for each and every one of us or not, I don't know. I don't think that he has. But whether he's asked for us or not, that's his intention. The intention of Satan and the demonic host is to overthrow our faith. That's what they're attempting to do. That's what they are feverishly laboring to do. But here's the great news. Although Satan has asked for you, that desired you, that he may sift you as wheat, what did Jesus say to Peter? He said, "But I have prayed for you. I have prayed for you. And when you are restored, strengthen your brethren." See, what a wonderful thing. All of the designs of the devil, all of his attempts to overthrow us will never succeed because Jesus has prayed for us. And he is praying for us. Remember, he's at the right hand of God making intercession for us. And so when you are restored, that's the promise. And you know, as I said, the longer I live life, I just see how God is so amazingly faithful to do these things. I have a friend that I spoke with a few days on the phone, and I was so delighted to speak to him and to hear even the tone of his voice. The moment I heard the tone of his voice, I was so delighted, because the last conversation I had with him several months ago was not a pleasant conversation. And he's the person who's been in ministry many years, and we've been very, very close friends for many years. And at a certain point, he just went off the rails and pretty much decided he was done with God and done with the church and done with his family, and he's going to go and do his own thing. And, you know, I, as a friend, I was reaching out and trying to talk some sense into him and trying to help him, you know, get his head on straight and make good decisions. And, you know, there was a certain point where he just said, "Get lost. I'm going to go do my own thing." And so at that point, what could I do? Well, I did the one thing that we should always do. I just said, "Lord, he's your problem. Take care of him. Deal with him." And I kept him in prayer. And, you know, when he actually sent me a text the other day and said, "Hey, I want to talk to you." And when I finally heard his voice on the other end of the phone, the minute I heard it, like I said, it, just in the very tone, I sensed, "Lord, thank you. You have done your faithful work. You've restored him. You've brought him to his senses. You brought him out from under that negative influence." And this is the kind of thing, of course, Satan, this is a guy God has used extraordinarily. God has done great things through him. I could see Satan saying, I want this guy. I want to sift him as wheat. But Jesus prayed for him and restored him. And now there is a blessing that's coming. But this is the reality. And so Paul goes on and he talks about anything in the present. Is there anything in the present that can separate us? No. What about the future? Now, of course, we don't know the future, do we? The future is unknown, but here's one thing you can know about the future. I'll tell you right now what you can know about the future. Nothing can separate you from God's love, which is in Christ. Nothing in the future can do that. And then he says, height, depth, any created thing, none of these things shall be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And one commentator said this. He said, insecurity is written across all human experience. Christian people are not guaranteed immunity to temptation, tribulation, or tragedy, but we are promised victory over them. God's pledge is not that suffering will never afflict us, but that it will never separate us from his love. Our confidence is not in our love for him, which is frail, fickle, and faltering, but in his love for us, which is steadfast, faithful, and persevering. That's the reality right there. Indeed, insecurity is written across all human experience, but thank God our confidence is not in our love for God. Our love that is frail, that is fickle, that is faltering. Look, if I had to depend on myself to make sure that I ultimately made it to heaven, I would be in sad shape. If that's what your thinking is, then you're in sad shape too. But God wants you to come out of that. He wants you to have confidence in his ability to do what he promised to do. Now, listen, many, many Christians live without this kind of security or confidence. Now, there are certain theological positions within the broader realm of the church that simply will never allow for the believer to have security. Roman Catholic theology does not allow for you to have security about your future in regard to heaven. When I was growing up as a Roman Catholic, it was very clear that Jesus did his part. Now you better make sure you do your part. And if you don't, then too bad. That's it. It's a combination of faith and works in Catholicism. But listen, the Bible does not combine those two things. The Bible specifically and dogmatically and over again shows us that no, these two things are not, this is not the combination for salvation, faith and works. Faith alone is what brings salvation. Works are the result of the salvation that comes through faith. But if I'm thinking in my head that, you know, I've got to do my best and I got to work harder and all of that, I will live a life of torment mentally. And God does not want us there. It's not dependent on our love for him. Just as we're reminded in Scripture, we love God because he loved us first. That's why we love God, because he loved us first. He took the initiative. And he's carrying on with that original plan, and he's continuing to preserve us because he's the one who's faithful. He's the one who is steadfast. And so here's the question. How secure is our salvation? How certain is it that we who are in Christ will make it to glory? Well, as we've been reading here, Paul was absolutely convinced that nothing, ourselves included, could separate us from the love of God and from his intended purpose to bring us to glory. Now, look back with me at the 29th verse that we read this morning. Notice what Paul says here. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined. And then verse 30, whom he predestined, he called. Whom he called, he justified. Whom he justified, he glorified. You see, this is where we have to take the scriptures and we have to look at them. What are we being told here? Well, I want you to notice something. Go back to the first thing, whom he foreknew, and skip over everything else and come to the last thing. He glorified. There's a process that Paul lays out step by step here, but what in the end, what he's saying is, look, God is going to get you to his intended destination, which is glorification. Whom he foreknew, he also predestined. God knew those who would respond to his grace, and so he determined in advance what? That they would be glorified. And so you could, I mean, you certainly can walk through these steps. These are steps. But the end result is what Paul is wanting to emphasize to us.
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics Radio with Pastor Brian Broderson. We'll return next time with more biblical insight from the Scriptures. But if you missed any part of this study or you'd like to review it again, you can do so by going to backtobasicsradio.com, click on Resources, then Audio. There you'll find all of Pastor Brian's teachings through the Bible, and you can either podcast, stream, or download for free. If you'd like a CD, you can call us at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message by title or resource number. Today's message is called Loved Forever, Saved Forever, and the resource number is BBT0007. If you have any questions or encouragement, or would like to support this ministry, we'd love to hear from you, and you can contact us directly at backtobasicsradio.com. You can also follow Pastor Brian on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Thanks again for tuning in today, and we pray the Lord continues to strengthen and encourage you in your faith as we study through the Word of God together.
Our hope, our strong
Back to Basics Radio is an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.